So, if you've been following this series, it's all about Messiah. And I've lost track of how many there are in this series, but I think we're somewhere around 9 or 10. And so today's message is about building up the body of Messiah. And I believe that's part of what we are to do. And when I think of this subject about building up the body, I think of the gifts of the Spirit. Because you know, one of the main purposes of the gifts of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, is to build up the body of Messiah. Now, some people might not feel that they've been built up by others. And well, to some degree, that might be our fault or that might be their fault. It could be on the receiving end and it could be on the giving end. But it doesn't really matter because our purpose and our goal should be the same regardless, that we want to encourage and build people up. We see in 1 Corinthians 14 three examples of a scripture that talk about building people up. But one who prophesies speaks to people for building up, urging on, uplifting. So I challenge you for everybody after services to follow this scripture, regardless of what people say to you, regardless of what happens, right? Verse 12, likewise. You like that segue? Likewise? Okay. Likewise with you. See, if you didn't take that personally. Likewise with you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, keep trying to excel for the building up of the community. Oh, and if that's not enough, verse 26, what is it then, brothers and sisters? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. We are to edify one another. We're to lift each other up. We're to encourage each other. And this is done by the power of God's Spirit. Because if without the power of God's Spirit, our emotions would take over and our emotions would control what we say rather than the power of God. And so we see in Acts 1:8 that Yeshua says, you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and through all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And without that power, we cannot be witnesses. Or we can, but probably not as good a witness. So my question this morning is, do you have spiritual power in your life? This is where I pause. Let you think about that. No, it's not rhetorical. It's real. Do you have spiritual power in your life? Do you know what you have done? Do you know that you have done things that have gone beyond what you normally could do were it not for the power of God's Spirit? We need to expect God to do things that are greater. I was talking to somebody recently and thinking about the fact that we were talking about work and jobs and stuff. And I said to them, I've never taken a job that I was prepared for. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But I was never prepared for any job that I've taken. It was really the power of God's Spirit, I guess along with my willingness to be open, that allowed me to be successful in jobs. Because, you know, there's certain limitations that I have. And without God and the power of His Spirit working in my life, I would not have done well. So God is expecting you to live in His power through the Ruach. God is expecting you that the power that you receive to encourage everybody in the congregation, everybody who are believers, and really everybody, period. So what gets in the way of the Ruach's power working in us? I have four things which you'll see up there. Number one, lack of faith. You don't believe. That'll do it. Number two, lack of God, of believing in God's word. That certainly will do it. Now, sometimes I mention this because I felt this way a number of times. People who counterfeit the manifestations, in other words, where you don't feel they're real, they're faking it, and it makes you feel, well, if that's the way the spiritual gifts are, I'm not sure I really want them. And that's really the enemy speaking into our heart and life to place doubt that the gifts of the Spirit are real and for today. Which segues into the fourth thing, which is an alternate theology. And that means there are some people who feel that the gifts of the Spirit, the Ruach, ended in the first century. So an example of that, if you go onto the internet, which most of you do, and you look up spiritual gifts, one of the definitions was that it's there are endowments which may be given by the Holy Spirit. First of all, may be given by the Holy Spirit, but we won't go there. At any rate, these are the supernatural graces which individual Christians need or did in the days of the apostles need to fulfill the mission of the church. So one of the ideas by a number of people is that these spiritual gifts were only used to fulfill the need to begin the body of believers, and that once they began, it was finished. I personally don't believe that. And so a couple things. First of all, there is so much instruction about gifts and so much discussion about it that for me, it wouldn't make sense at all that these gifts weren't for today, but we'll look at it at any rate. But 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each person is given the manifestation of the Ruach for the benefit of all. So you and I, when we get gifts, it's, as I said already, to benefit others. And then 1 Corinthians 12:11, but the one and the same Ruach activates all these things, distributing to each person individually as he wills. Now, you have a handout in your announcements. If you don't, you can raise your hand. But in that handout, at the bottom of one of the pages, it's front and back, is a list of the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh as seen in Scripture. We see Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Hey, we need some others handed out. Just raise your hand. 1 Corinthians 12:28, Ephesians 4:11, 1 Peter 4:9-11, 1 Corinthians 7, and so on. So I want you to take a look at these gifts of the Spirit, and you'll notice the only ones that the people with the theology feel are no longer valid are the ones that are supernatural. So in other words, I don't think anybody would think that service is ended at the end of the first century, or teaching, or exhorting, or giving, or leadership, or mercy, or faith. I mean, the ones that are in dispute to people who feel this way are healings, miracles, tongues, and prophecy, probably. Maybe one or two others, but you'll see that all the others, obviously, are still very strong. And so when you hear some use a certain scripture. Usually the scripture that first comes up when people do not believe in the gifts of the Spirit is actually in 1 Corinthians. Hidden among the gifts is 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. It says, but where there are prophecies, they will pass away. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is partial will pass away. Now, we know that the gifts didn't pass away after Yeshua died and was resurrected. Yeshua was the perfect one spoken of in the scripture. So the only thing that I can conclude is that the second time Yeshua comes, there will be some passing away of gifts. We won't need the gifts. We're going to be so in his presence that the gifts, we will not need, we won't need them. It'll just be who we are. It'll be our identity. So I don't think that that scripture really discourages me one bit from believing in the gifts. Right. Oh, that's true too. That's true too. It was written afterwards, right? So I believe the gifts are for today and for the building up of Messiah. And I think that many times people are not building up the body of Messiah, the people in congregations, because they lack the gifts. Because the gifts is what is the power that gives you the opportunity to do things that are beyond what you normally can or could do. So let's look at a couple things here. First of all, God created us to live our lives with power, and because Yeshua gave us authority, right? And Yeshua promised us a helper. So we'll look at 1 John 4, 2 to 4. You know the Ruach Elohim, which is the Spirit of God, by this. Every spirit that acknowledges that Messiah Yeshua has come in human flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Yeshua is not from God. This is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world. You are from God, children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And we have the power of God's Spirit in us. Now, I believe that many people haven't exercised that power. They haven't even thought about that power, and they haven't been concerned about it. So it's kind of like somebody who accepts Yeshua as Messiah. And you probably know somebody, I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but you probably know somebody like this. They accept Yeshua in the, as Messiah, and then you see no works at all. You don't see anything good coming from their life. Bad decisions, everything going on. Now, they still accepted Yeshua as their Messiah, but somehow it didn't reach their heart and their mind. And I think the power of God's Spirit is very similar to that. It's something that we don't talk about enough, and we don't really see the evidence oftentimes. So I think that this is a call for us to look and consider. So let me give you some examples of Hebrew scriptures, scriptures from the Hebrew Bible, or the Hebrew portion. And you know, when you're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and you're talking about the Spirit of God resting in you, it almost always has to do with serving God by serving people. It almost always has to do with your serving God by serving people. We are to serve people. So examples of this, Bezalel, who was given the gift of craftsmanship in Exodus 31, 2, and 3, and this will be an expansion, by the way, of the list of what the Spirit does in our lives. Othniel to judge Israel in Judges 3, 9, and 10. Gideon, who led Israel in battle, Judges 6, verse 34. Samson, who was given physical strength in Judges 14, 6 and 14, 19. And Micah, who was given prophetic gifts in Micah 3, 8, all by the power of God's Spirit. We think sometimes that the power of God's Spirit was a new covenant thing, but obviously it was not. In fact, we have even people who fell into disrepair, but that's not the correct statement. Fell. How about that? 1 Samuel 10, 9 and 10, we're talking about Saul here. Then it happened, as Saul turned back to leave Samuel, that God transformed his heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Well, what signs? So we read on. When they arrived there at the hill, behold, a band of prophets did meet him. And suddenly the Spirit, the Ruach of God, overtook him, as subsequently he prophesied among them. So here is Saul prophesying among the prophets. And we know that God has done something here by the power of his Spirit. We read in Joel 3:1, so it will be afterward, I will pour out my ruach on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Also on the male and the female servants will I pour out my Spirit in those days. Does that mean I'm not going to see any more visions? It says young men. Well, maybe young is relative in God's sight, I'm hoping. Because I really do want to see more visions. I do. Okay, I'm hoping. Is that the dreaming part? I'm dreaming? That's my dream, huh? Yeshua promised. Yeah, that's right. Yeshua promised special gifts of the Holy Spirit. So as we go into the New Covenant portion, we see that Yeshua promised that there would be special gifts coming, like Mark 13, 11. When they arrest you, which doesn't sound too good, but at any rate, that's not the gift part. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speaks, but the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So this another example of it is John 14, 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper so that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So this is the helper that Yeshua had promised when he left, that we would have the power of God's Spirit. We see it in Luke 24, 49, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high, and that power was the Holy Spirit coming upon the people. So we see this, and one of the interesting things as I was looking through different scriptures, I came across John 16, and I'll start with verse 14. He, meaning the Ruach, will glorify me, meaning Yeshua, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said, the Ruach will take from what is mine and declare it to you. So you see here an interesting scripture, because we're seeing God the Father giving it to Yeshua, and Yeshua giving it to the power to the Holy Spirit. in order to encourage us, strengthen us, help us in our walk with the Lord. So there's some other characteristics of the power of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts. One, as an example, is that God chooses how he gives those gifts through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And you see that in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 11, that it's God's choice. Then also, spiritual gifts are not merited by man. In other words, you can't buy them. You can't get them other than what God gives you. Now, it seems like every week I say, now I'm going to get in trouble when I say this, but I have some certain beliefs that are not held by other people. And one of them is I believe that each believer has all of the gifts. That's what I believe. You want to argue with me? Do it later. But I believe that. I believe that some are more hidden than others. Some are more accented than others. But the fact is that we all have all these gifts. Now, there are some that seem more obvious to us. There's something that God gave us that is stronger than the other gifts. And so oftentimes we go in that direction because that seems obvious to us. But I believe that if we are in tune with the power of God's Spirit, there is none of these gifts on this list that we can't be involved in. So, but one of the downsides of spiritual gifts historically, and I've seen it practiced, is that spiritual gifts do not make people superior. And oftentimes, when these gifts are displayed, people get the sense that it's me and them. You know, that there's a division here. And this is not what the power of God's Spirit is all about. We also live in a culture right now that even if you have struck out three times in baseball, you get a prize for being a home run hitter because we don't want you to feel bad. And obviously, the person who struck out three times was not a home run hitter. They struck out three times, and they haven't learned to deal with failure. Sometimes we will fail. It's okay. I can say that word. That's not a bad word yet. Is that on the politically, you can't say failure? Failure, yes. We fail sometimes, and we should not necessarily get rewarded for failure. I think I went a little off my subject here, but I guess my point is this, that that it takes two to feel bad, one who's kind of seeming arrogant about the gifts, and the other who is insecure about the gifts, who is feeling bad. So there are two ways that this can happen. Neither is godly. We need to have our identity in God. And with that, we will, as we read Scripture, that Scripture will come into our heart and we will understand what God is trying to say. This is what I believe, and so I'm giving it to you. So, other characteristics of the spiritual gifts is that people who are not believers generally will see the spiritual gifts as foolishness. That's what Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14. And they will see us as foolish unless God touches their heart, and then it will be the way they enter into the kingdom, which shows us that it's all about God. It's not about us. I already mentioned, I believe that spiritual gifts are for every believer. The purpose of the gifts to build up the body of believers, to encourage people to praise and thank God. You'll see that in 1 Corinthians 14:16, to win people to the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14:23 to 25, to encourage yourself, 1 Corinthians 14:4, Jude 20. Look, the power of God's Spirit is all through Scripture. And we have to understand that when we are using, which should be most of the time or all of the time, the power of God's Spirit to do anything in our lives, it has to be done with the fruits of the Spirit so that people will be able to accept what is going on. And the fruit, as you know, is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and patience. I always forget that one. I don't know why. Could be Freudian. Yeah, could be Freudian, yes. So we also see in Scripture that the gift of the spiritual gift should be encouraged with decency and order. We see that in 1 Corinthians 14:39 and 40. So I'm going to stop on one scripture, on one of the gifts, and that is the gift of prophecy. 2 Peter 1:19 to 21 is an interesting scripture. We don't have time necessarily to go over it, but that's a good description of what prophecy is all about. And I'd advise you to look at that, 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. But what we see in prophecy, I believe there are two types of prophecies. One is biblical prophecy, which means that the prophecy that was done that became Scripture. We know who I'm talking about, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and so on. This is the prophecy that became Scripture. And so this prophecy is a little different. It's certainly future for the most of the time. It has to do with the future. It also has to do with judgment a lot. It has to do with correction. There are a lot of things that this prophecy has to do. But I don't believe that that prophecy is for today. I believe prophecy is for today, but not that prophecy, that kind of prophecy. I believe that what we look at in the New Covenant is prophecy is to be an encouragement to the body. And that is almost the parameters that you put around prophecy. I can't tell whether somebody has a correct prophecy, but I can tell whether it was an encouragement. And I believe encouragement is the key to today's prophetic. Look, God finished the scripture in Revelation. And there are too many people who are, in a sense, through prophecy today, trying to add to that scripture. And that's what I do not agree with. I do agree with prophecy. I do agree with words of knowledge. I do agree with these things, but I think we have to be very, very careful. The judgment for a prophet who was not prophetic is found in Deuteronomy. I don't think I have a slide on it. Deuteronomy 18, 20 to 22. And two things happen. One is that what they say won't come about, but the second thing is that the prophet is to die. So that's pretty serious, I would say, concerning the way prophets are looked at by God. And I think we have to be very careful. Now, saying that we're careful does not mean we should not have a prophecy or a word of knowledge. But I do believe, once again, that it is to encourage us. And, 1 Corinthians 14:31 through 33, for you can all prophesy one by one. which is one of the reasons, one of the scriptures that makes me believe that we all have all the gifts, is because this scripture says you all can prophesy. So if we all can prophesy, then I'm assuming, as this gift is probably one of the more difficult gifts, then I think it would make sense that we all have gifts that are given to us by the Lord. So it says here, for you can all prophesy one by one, so all may learn and be encouraged. So there's a learning curve to prophesying. Not in the Hebrew scriptures, but in the New Covenant. There's no learning curve in the Hebrew scriptures. So there's something going on differently here. And I think that's an important thing to think about. I don't have all the answers concerning this, but I bring this up as a question for us to meditate on and really come to grips with what we believe. And be open to change what we believe, because this is an area that is not as clear as I would hope that it would be. Romans 12:6 is an interesting one as well. I'll just give you the beginning of it. We have gifts that differ according to the grace that was given to us. Now, I believe that's referring to the size of the gift, not whether or not we got it, because the next part says, if prophecy in proportion to our faith. Okay, so now we have another problem. And that is, our prophetic nature is in proportion to how much faith we have. Ooh, I don't like that. Can we change that scripture? I guess not. Well, somebody has to figure out what that means, but I think it's fairly clear. And that is that the smaller faith has less or no prophetic gifting that is being shown, while the greater faith has greater gifting of prophetic nature. Look, God, there are a lot of things that are difficult in God's word. And we have to be honest about it. Okay, let's go from there to tongues. For some reason, no matter what gift we're talking about, tongues is always the one that causes people the most trouble. And here at Sheresh David, in general, it's not always the case. We never know what's going to happen totally, but for the most part, tongues is used privately by those people who speak in tongues, but it's done privately. So in 1 Corinthians 14:27 and 28, it says, if someone speaks in a tongue, let it be by two or at least, or at most three, and each in turn, let one interpret, but if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the community, but speak to himself and to God. And that's basically the philosophy that we're keeping at Sheresh David right now, that we keep silent, speak directly to God about this. So that's a little bit about tongues. I would just encourage people who do not speak in tongues to look at this. I believe this is an awesome gift. Talk about encouragement that encourages the people who have it, from what I can see and from personal experience. And it's very hard for me to understand how how difficult it must be for people who are not using this gift, because it's such an encouraging gift. And Lord knows we need encouragement. Okay, the final thing that I'd like to talk about in regards to the power of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit is something that is termed slain in the Spirit. Okay, so here's what I believe. First of all, most of Scripture talks about falling on your face. I don't think there's any scripture that I have found that talks about falling backward. So that's the first thing that I'd like you to consider. I'm not being dogmatic about this, but I think it's something to consider. So if you want to look at where the people fell on their face, you could look at Ezekiel 1:28. You could look at Daniel 8:17. You could look at Matthew 17:5. Now, the thing that I've tried to be open to through the years is that I don't know everything. I haven't experienced everything. And if God wants to do something new, let him do it, you know. And so that's where I'm at with slain in the Spirit. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't see it scripturally, but if God wants to do that kind of thing or anything different, I've been in a lot of experiences with the spiritual realm, and one took me by surprise years and years ago. I had this amazing prayer meeting after services that I held for teenagers and college-age students. This was in Philly. We had about 30 kids every Friday night praying till 12:30 at night. And all of a sudden, what is called holy laughter comes into the prayer meeting. And like, I'm going, what is this? The difficulty with that, what happened was, number one, there were two things. One was a difficulty, one was very good. The very good thing is the people who ended up with doing this just seemed to go deeper with the Lord in an amazing way. The bad thing that happened is it divided the prayer group, and so people stopped coming. So, you know, we just have to be so careful with the things of God. Now, I don't believe it was God's purpose to end the prayer meeting. So, you know, I have some questions in my mind about that. On the other hand, the people who experience the laughter part are really strong in the Lord even today. So I try not to be judgmental. I try to leave room for the Spirit, as controlling as I might be and as narrow sometimes as I might be in my scope. I also try and leave room for others. I think that if we're going to see unity in the body of believers, we have to learn to do that, to allow space for other people who have experienced other things and believe other ways. As long as the majors are the majors, these are not the majors. As major as they seem to me, as major as they might seem to you, the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit is not a major theological thing for us. What's major is who is God. But having said that, I think that it's important that we give room to people and not be so quick to judge. So let me close with a couple things. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. We know the greater gift is love. But here it says gifts. So obviously prophecy. God is saying to earnestly desire to be prophetic. In fact, it says it again in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, that's a verse that's hard to interpret any other way than to read it literally. So I would say, from this message, what I would hope you would do is you would look at the gifts that are mentioned, and we haven't really scratched the surface on this, but the gifts that I have written down for you scripturally, and just ask yourself, what is God gifting you with? It might even bring you into a direction you haven't gone before. We need to know where our spiritual gifts are. So, do we need gifts of the Ruach? Absolutely, I believe we do. Are they for all of us? Absolutely. We are to desire them all. The scripture that keeps coming into my mind about gifts is, don't hide your talents in the ground. Don't hide your talents in the ground. God wants to see your talents used. And he actually, the judgment is for leaving, for being neutral, for doing nothing with them. That's where the judgment is from God in that parable. So to receive the power and the gifts of God's Spirit, you need to know God and have a relationship with him. So for anybody in the sanctuary or on Facebook Live, who doesn't have a relationship with God, I would just ask you to simply do the following. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. And as we know, by the way, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as whoever is doing this, let me say, you're not alone. Secondly, Yeshua atoned for my sin, and I receive him now into my heart and into my mind and into my spirit. I receive him. And finally, I dedicate my life to you, Lord. You are God. I worship you. I praise you. And so if you've done that, we would love to be contacted on Monday, if possible, or anytime by email, or through our website, or a phone call. We'd like to know that you've received the Lord into your heart. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, we worship you, Lord. Lord, to give us a helper, as the power of the Spirit of God is our helper, is an amazing gift that you have given us. I pray that we would honor you by using the gifts that you have given us, to recognize them and to use them for your glory, Lord. Not only for your glory, but for the building up of your kingdom, for the building up of congregations and the body of Messiah. Oh Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would focus on that rather than division and coming against people. But Lord, we would be, I pray that we would actually be a model to politicians and to the media and to the people who seem to foster and live on division. But Father, we in the body of believers need to be an example of love, need to be an example of unity. And I believe that is done when we have the power of God's Spirit working in our lives. So I ask you, Lord, to pour out your Spirit. Fill us afresh and anew. And Lord, as we worship you in music now, I ask, Father, that you would touch us and lead us. And I pray this all in the name of Yeshua. Amen.